This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation opened its outpatient clinic at the new hospital yesterday. They'll be moving into the new state-of-the-art facility in phases throughout the year. Inpatient services will move over in 2 to 3 weeks, and dental and behavioral health in November. YKHC Vice President of Hospital Services, Jim Sweeney, says one of the reasons they needed a new hospital is so they can add more staff.
Dental is going to pretty much double in size. We're increasing the medical staff and the support staff that goes with that.
With enough staff at the hospital, Sweeney says dentists and medical staff can deliver health care beyond Bethel more often.
Our goal is really to bring the patient services as close to home as possible. So we want to serve people here in Bethel, but we also want to go out to the villages.
The new hospital will also feature a behavioral health decision unit. Patients with critical mental health issues can be treated here rather than going to Anchorage. YKHC Public Relations Director Mitchell Forbes says there's a reason they're trying to limit travel for patients.
You're leaving your home, leaving your family, leaving your support system. And so for us, being able to provide services in region is about improving the quality of our patient care and improving our patients' experience.
The improvements aren't done yet. YKHC plans to renovate the old hospital and connect the two buildings. And they'll demolish the north wing of the old hospital and build a big gathering space for patients to spend time with their support system. That's where they'll host a grand opening for the public, anticipated to be early next year. Next, in wildfires, there have been 178 fires so far this summer in Alaska, and 58 of those are currently burning in the southwest. While most of the fires are remote, a few are threatening communities on the Kuskokwim River and the proposed Donlin Gold mine site. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger has this report.
The Donlin Gold mine had to evacuate most of its employees at its mine site this weekend after lightning ignited the Smith Creek fire.
At this point, you know, we're working in communication with the smoke jumpers and continue to monitor the situation and foresee regular operations at the project site resuming once the conditions are deemed safe.
Christina Wolston is the Donlin spokesperson and said it was precautionary. She couldn't say how many employees had evacuated, and she says some stayed behind to help out the firefighting crew. The Smith Creek fire is one of many that lightning strikes sparked during thunderstorms in July in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Three fires are burning within 3 miles of Red Devil, a village about 30 miles upriver from the Donlin mine site, the McCauley Creek fire and the Barometer Mountain fire, and the Barometer Foothills fire. Rebecca Wilmarth lives in Red Devil.
And the wind is blowing downriver, so it's not blowing straight at the village, just blowing down. But if the wind was to change, it probably would, you know, become a more imminent threat.
Wildland firefighting crews are camping at the runway. Wilmarth says Red Devil hasn't been ordered to evacuate yet. There's been a lot of hot, dry weather and a little rain in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. A heat wave earlier this month shot up temperatures across Alaska, mixing a perfect cocktail for wildfire conditions.
It hasn't really rained much since the beginning and middle of June, so everything was completely dry.
Wilmarth says this fire season isn't the worst she's seen so far, but the summer is the hottest one that she remembers. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Bethel.
Next, regarding the cuts to UA, University of Alaska regents have postponed voting on a declaration of financial exigency, a contractual tool that allows more expedited cost-cutting, including laying off of tenured faculty. UA is facing an over $135 million reduction in state funding from the current year, including $130 million vetoed by Governor Mike Dunleavy. Exigency would be a serious hit to the university's reputation, and Regent Daryl Hargraves, a Dunleavy appointee, suggested there may be a way to ease toward reduced state support.
What we need is a glide path of, I would say, 3 years to make the cut.
Regents voted to delay consideration of exigency until a July 30th meeting, when UA President Jim Johnson will lay out specific cost reduction measures. The new fiscal year began July 1st, and Johnson emphasized that each day the university operates at status quo compounds the impact of any state funding cut.
Just means that it'll be a steeper reduction that will need to be achieved in year.
Johnson said he's in regular communication with the governor's office and state legislators, who last week failed to garner enough votes to overturn Governor Dunleavy's vetoes, which targeted the university as well as numerous other state programs. Override supporter Republican State Senator Click Bishop of Fairbanks attended the Regents meeting and offered a tearful apology, calling the university cut a travesty that sends the wrong message to young people.
But I want you to know, I'm not done, and we're going to turn this around.
Another override backer, Democratic Representative Andy Josephson of Anchorage, also spoke at the meeting. Josephson described the situation, which has yielded the massive budget cuts, as a political crisis, and said an alternate means of funding the university is in the works. Finally, typically some of the most intense fights at the Alaska State Capitol are between factions of Democratic and Republican lawmakers. But one of the biggest ideological fractures complicating this year's legislative session is within the GOP. Nat Hurst with Alaska Public Media reports on how that's creating some strange bedfellows as legislators fight over Governor Mike Dunleavy's line item budget vetoes.
To understand where this story is going, I have to take you back about 2.5 years to when Labor leader Vince Beltrami was running for state senate against an incumbent Anchorage Republican, Kathy Geisel. The campaign, to put it mildly, got a little chippy.
Like when my opponent claims I'm going negative, she's the one doing the name calling. But I guess when you don't have a record to run on, you just try to duck the truth.
Fast forward to a month ago when Beltrami, who lost the election, was at an oil industry conference and ran into Geisel, who's now Senate president. To reiterate, 2 years ago, Beltrami and Geisel were sworn enemies. Here's Beltrami.
Walked up, shook my hand. We talked for a minute, and I said, you're doing the right thing. I think she was a little flabbergasted to hear that from me.
It's rare for Geisel and Beltrami to agree on almost anything politically. But in the standoff right now between Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy and the legislature, many Republican lawmakers like Geisel are defecting, joining with Democrats and moderates to oppose the Republican governor. During Wednesday's failed vote to override Dunleavy's vetoes, Anchorage Republican Senator Natasha von Imhoff lambasted the governor, saying he was purposefully throwing the state into a severe recession. In an interview later, she questioned an idea floated by some Republican lawmakers aligned with the governor that before reducing dividends, the state should consider taxing residents to pay for government services.
I do not know of any Republican party in the U.S. that endorses an ever-increasing cash payout from the public treasury. And when you add a tax increase, this is sounding like complete socialism to me. That's not even a Democrat value. I don't think Nancy Pelosi is even talking about that.
Von Imhoff says a Republican principle is balancing between competing needs, and that those needs include a prosperous private sector, which in turn calls for government services like education, public safety, and human welfare. Senator Mike Schauer of Wasilla is on the other side of the Republican divide from von Imhoff. He's part of the GOP faction that skipped the Juneau vote on the vetoes and instead has been meeting in Wasilla, as Dunleavy recommended. Schauer supports deeper cuts than von Imhoff, and he says her position on the PFD only holds if you see the dividend as the government's money. Schauer doesn't. He says the payments are Alaskans' personal share of profits from the state's natural resources.
I would argue that Natasha von Imhoff is a statist. She is talking about a bigger government that costs more money and wants to use the dividend money that belongs to the people to pay for the government. Is that a Republican concept?
Experts say this split within the Republican Party correlates with income. Wealthier Republicans tend to see the dividend as a government program like any other that can and should be diverted to support critical state services. Those with lower incomes see it as a unique benefit to living in Alaska that shouldn't be considered part of the government at all. Those differences are especially glaring right now, but Glenn Clary, the chair of the Alaska Republican Party, says he's not worried that they'll plague the party through election season next year.
I've been at this a long time. And the terrain changes every session.
He says the two sides of the split have to start communicating and repairing their relationships. And he says party leaders can help with that.
We would offer ourselves to do that, to bring legislators together so that they can start mending fences and start communicating more to find those places where they can agree and move on.
For Beltrami, the labor leader, the GOP's internal split presents an opportunity. He says polls have shown Dunleavy's approval rating declining since the vetoes, and Republicans who stay aligned with him will present a big target for groups like Beltrami's.
Frankly, the people that are out in Wasilla that are hitching their wagon to this governor, not to be too hyperbolic, but they are writing their own death warrant in the next election if they're in districts that are not, you know, just so solidly red.
Like Clary, Beltrami says there's still plenty of time for things to change. In the meantime, he says he's finding himself working with new allies, like Geisel. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.